Welcome to another edition of Be the Change Georgia, where we amplify the voices of the inspiring business leaders surrounding the B Corp and social impact movements across the Southeast to help you learn how to build your legacy at the intersection of people, planet, purpose, and profit. Today, there are more than 8,000 B Corps in over 80 countries and 180 different industries unified by one common goal: transforming the global economy to benefit all people, communities, and the planet. If you want to learn how to plug into our purpose-driven business community alongside the inspiring leaders we feature on this show, check us out at belocalgeorgia.com or on Instagram or Facebook at belocalgeorgia, and we'll hope to meet you at our next event. Today, you'll have the opportunity to learn from Brandy Amidon, the co-president and CFO of Brains on Fire, a creative marketing agency with offices in Greenville, South Carolina, and Los Angeles, California. In addition to serving in a typical CFO capacity while nurturing her team within a small business atmosphere, Brandy serves as the first female and youngest mayor of the city of Travelers Rest, South Carolina. During today's episode, Brandy talks about the importance of building trust in community. You'll also hear about the evolving landscape of branding, the value of company culture, and the role it plays in attracting both employees and clients, and the benefits of being part of the B Corp community. You won't want to miss this episode as Brandy dives into the crucial aspects of building trust in community, from the small business office to the mayor's office. Enjoy. Brandy, what is happening? Welcome to Be the Change Georgia. Glad to finally have you on.
What's up, Nathan? Thanks for having me.
I know this goes back to, I'm trying to think how long ago. I was Build 2020 and I was like, ooh, marketing agency. And I remember I was like, I just cold called you. I was like, hey, we're doing this thing. And you're like, I don't really work on the marketing side. I'm more on the financial side if you need a CFO. And that was the beginning of our relationship. So I'm excited to unpack everything. Brains on Fire. Mayor, all these fun stuff, fun hats that you wear. So yeah, so let's dive right in and just kind of I want to talk a little bit about your role at Brains on Fire, because more than anything, like, you're now co-president and CFO, but you didn't necessarily join Brains on Fire in that role. So as you look back on your journey, how did you find yourself sitting in the seat you're sitting in today, and what lessons did you learn about the along the way around leadership, shared accountability? Just kind of unpack the journey for us.
Sure. So it's funny to look back. I started out in banking, which sounds just as boring. I mean, it was just a horrible, but I didn't know any better. It's like your first job out of college. I was accounting major. I was like, oh, I just got to get paid. And met a lovely person who also hated the banking industry. And she came to work at Brains on Fire. And I was like, hey, I love you. When you get big enough, please hire me. I want to go work for someplace cool. And so she interviewed me. I'm a staff accountant. I think I was like 22 years old, Nathan. Had no idea what Brains on Fire did. Like, I just could not grasp this world of advertising and branding. I'm like, but you don't make anything. And she's like, no, we don't actually make anything. Like, we tell stories. You know, so anyways, came to work at Brains and loved it. I loved being able to be a part of the money side. I fell into the HR role because you're kind of the grown up in the room. And so you have to take care and make good legal, responsible decisions, and just loved it, Nathan. Like, it was the best spot. And so grew up at Brains, used to be the youngest employee there. And then the original founder, she decided to retire. And she's like, Brandy, you would be great at running this company. I was like, no, I don't want to be responsible for humans. Like, that feels wrong. And she's like, no, you've been responsible for us for a long time. We've been running this company together. And then Ben Hart, who is your typical creative director, beautiful, smart person, him and I now own Brains on Fire together. So we're like this yin and yang. You have a great mashup of someone that can focus on the business and then someone that actually does the things that we do. So yeah, coming from that spot at the very beginning, I think some of the major lessons were, you know, kind of being a part of, you know, being a worker bee. And then when you kind of move into that leadership role, you're way more attuned to the decisions that you make as a leader and how that affects every layer of a company. And so I think having that experience is really nice perspective to have at this level. Just knowing, like, if I get and make a rash decision, it's going to affect 30 something people and what that plays out and what that looks like.
Yeah. And I mean, working with a creative, I know this as a creative, like having to balance out the, like, all right, Ben, you had 38 ideas today. Like, three of them are really good.
Yeah.
35 are going to put in the backlog, because otherwise you end up just chasing squirrels all the time. I made my first hire of a former student of mine, and that was the exact thing I was looking like. She had that, like, very, like, everything's a spreadsheet. Sometimes the emails are like 6 paragraphs long, which we were joking before we started recording. I'm not reading. But it's nice to have that yang to your yin of, as far as kind of keeping you in check too, with chasing too many squirrels in the backyard.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you've ever done the StrengthsFinder test, Nathan, but that's just very eye-opening to how Ben and I balance each other. But I don't need to necessarily have the idea, but I can execute the crap out of something. So, like, when Ben would come up with something, or, like, even, you know, we're headquartered here in Greenville, South Carolina originally, we had this idea years ago to have an LA office with Ben. And it was like, hey, what if we did? And we're like, oh, that could be a thing. But I'm the one that likes to see the things happen and execute. So that's where I feel like we get a good balance between each other. Yeah, with the idea that's good, and I want to, you know, see it through and make something happen.
And that usually is our biggest limitation, is the ability to take great idea and turn it into anything, because about 40% of the way through the idea, we're bored with it and we've started on the next idea.
Follow through, Nathan.
I know my strengths. I embrace my weaknesses. So speaking of that, like, branding is an interesting industry, in that, like, the landscape's kind of always changing. I know this will come out in weeks after the Super Bowl, but we just wrapped the Super Bowl and you see all the different branding ideas. There's almost this constant iteration, this constant need to evolve, to adapt. How do you, with your team, ensure that not only are they on board, but they're also embracing that sort of mentality around that like fast pace of a changing industry?
Yeah, it's ever evolving. I mean, I was out yesterday because I was on a trip with my husband. I probably missed something new that popped up yesterday that now we need to be talking about today. And I think the first thing that we do in the hiring process, Nathan, we are very clear. If you're someone that needs to have a clear roadmap and feel confident in your day's decisions and what's going to happen for the week, and that every client is pretty consistent, this is not the place for you, because you're going to struggle here. And so, like, we're very clear up front. Every client is different. Every client is unique. Every story, every human interaction, every day we are learning something. And so having a team that's very agile in that space, and I think a lot of it has to do with, we've all got some type of ego. Of course, that's why we get up and do the things. But being able to say, like, I'm going to come into a meeting and not know all the answers and not have everything figured out by the end of this 30-minute call, I think gives a layer of vulnerability to our team that works really well, because we really are going into every client project. We have a good roadmap, but still we know something's going to pop up and something's going to be unique. And so having that team that can be like, all right, we're not going to solve all the problems in this first 30 minutes, but we're going to get there. We're going to trust the process is really key. Because you're right, ever evolving technology, our people, it's just, you know, something that you want to have a team that can be super flexible.
Well, I love that you, I mean, I'm a culture nerd. Like, I didn't know that until I started working at Advic after my MBA and started Be Local Georgia and started the Be Culture Call. Like, one of those things I think B Corps are really great at too is we do, it's not like fluffy rainbows and butterflies to us of, like, nailing that company culture piece. And I love talking about, like, that employer brand.
Yeah.
And the awareness to know who you're hiring and to make sure, because there's nothing worse. Like, I've done that before, and this is years ago at my first horrible job. It wasn't in banking, but where you get somebody in and you realize immediately they interviewed well, they're really nice, and they are a terrible personality fit for the job. But you didn't think about that when you were hiring. They checked the hiring boxes. They didn't necessarily fit. And I won't even call it the culture box, like the ambiguity box of
yeah.
What do we, you know, like, are you even going to enjoy doing this work? So I love that you brought that up, because I think there is something to be said about the intentionality of hiring, but also in evolving the company culture. So I'd love to kind of talk a little bit more about especially brains, like the company culture, what it was when you started, where has it gone from, where is it now, and why do you believe that kind of like that B Corp mentality of prioritizing something that seems non-revenue generating? Why is it so important? And I guess what's your philosophy on it, if you will?
Oh, we go in deep. Well, I mean, really, honestly, like the first, maybe the last 5 years, have I started like hearing culture in every conversation, but it's something we've been doing at Brains for over 30 years. I mean, this is a legacy agency. We've been around for a long time. And so anyways, it was just funny to me where everybody's like, culture, culture. Like we've been doing culture from the very beginning of how you take care of your employees, how you present yourself to the world. And so I do think part of the culture conversation now is that you never arrive. Like there's never this moment where we're like, whoo, nailed it, got it, we can move on. We don't have to focus on culture anymore. It's constantly evolving. And like you're saying, from the hiring perspective, every person that we bring in alters our culture. You're hoping for the good. Like that's what we're going for, like make us better with every hire. But it's ever evolving, it's ever changing. And I think part of the intentionality piece for us is just putting like our money where our mouth is and the time and effort. Like we jumped in with a great group called Refound, helped us a lot with personal coaching and why that was important from Brains on Fire. And we invested our time and energy. And they're like, no, we have to consistently and forever pay attention to Nathan as our employee. Is he good? Does he have the goals? What is he working on? So there's a lot of that non-billable time that we put into it, but we firmly believe like this is what's going to pay off for the long haul, because you're helping not only build you as a person, but hopefully your skills as an employee. And hopefully we're doing all that together as we're growing up, you know, in this industry. And so I think part of us at Brains, what we've done well is accepting that we're never arrived and have made all the right decisions, but also never striving to get there. Like we're reading every article that comes through the B Corp. What are they doing? You know, what is this group over here doing? Like, how can we expand and do better? And I think that's what makes it special. But yeah, it's all about our people. I mean, we joke, we're like people and Max. That's our company assets, Brains on Fire. Two things. So like, we got to take care of our computers and we got to take care of our people.
No, it's, yeah, I want to just go down this rabbit hole so badly. Keep it on track, Nathan. But no, I mean, you're hitting so many... The proverbial, there's the business analogy of the day, hitting the nail on the head, brought to you by Brains on Fire. No, but there's so much there, though, of you're never there. I love that. And then just that constant evolution of like, you know, I think we do that, like that brand gap, employer brand gap analysis of that. I love that, you know, like what are our people saying? Who do we think we are and who are our people telling us we are? And we do it and we're like, done. Check it off. And it's like, no, put it back on the list for next year. We're doing it again and again. And even the paying attention to those individual employees, you know, of like, if they're a strong extrovert, do they need that gold star at the end of the day? Is, you know, will they put in the long week for you? As long as they get their gold star, they'll do it. And then there's the people who don't care at all. That's their job. And they don't need the thanks. They got their paycheck. That works for them. So it's an interesting dichotomy of learning the individuals. How much have you guys done as far as, like you said, StrengthsFinder? What other trainings have you all done in that space? Or is it executives? Is the whole team involved?
It's everyone. So we do all like the Enneagram, StrengthsFinder. You know, we even did like this fun one that was what kitchen appliance are you? I mean, anything that pops up that is fun and is some type of tool to help you with self-awareness. Like we're trying to figure out, how are we going to work together? How do you know how I work? So when we're on a team together that we're, you know, making sure that we're looking out for one another in that space. And so, yeah, we're super curious, just like with our clients, like we jump in for ourselves. We also have like coaching one-on-one. So everyone has their own personal coach you meet with on a regular basis. We all have goals. We have individual goals. We have team goals. We have company goals. And so there's a lot of conversations about what we're working towards as a company. And I think that's really helpful because you're right. There is no one size fits all for culture. Like when I give out financial information, this is just as an example. We closed out January. I'm like, yeah, this is our numbers. Some people, they're not going to read it unless it's in bold like you, Nathan. Or some people are like, I want to know what the history was for the last 3 years for January's financials. So knowing that you have such a broad group of people, you do have to kind of adapt. Like, I need to know what Nathan cares about, and I need to make sure I tell him these things, you know? So it's definitely something where you're having to be very intentional about every communication and trying to, you know, do the best you can on the people, because we are also unique in how we absorb information, but we got to do the legwork. I don't know until I ask the question.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, you're hitting a lot of those like B Corp tenants right now too, even the sharing the financial literacy, like people, you know, and we just recorded another episode with the CEO in Athens, and we were talking about the generational change, and he made the analogy of like, if his dad owned, he worked at his dad's grocery store as a kid. And he's like, if my dad had told me to go out and pick up cigarette butts with a tweezer, I would have said, yes, sir, where's the tweezer? and gone and done it. Yeah. And now they'd be like, why should I do that? You know, and like, if you explain to them that it's this most efficient way to do it or whatever, but if they understand the why, they'll do it. And it's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like, and I love that you talked about that financial literacy piece too, because I think helping our team understand how we make money, what our margins are, you know, how they can help us, you know, how they can add to that bonus pool that they're going to get paid out on, how they can add to the profit margin of the company. That's where the raises come from, I think, is really this shift in kind of just open book, transparent business.
Yeah. And I don't need the whole company. I don't need all of our 30 plus employees to care about money as much as I do. Like, I feel like that's part of my, but I need you to care something. I mean, it is our livelihood, and health insurance is expensive, and, you know, workers' comp and all the subscriptions and the fun things that we want to sign on for. So you just need to know that your team cares in some capacity.
I didn't plan on like keeping to like recapping all these B Corp tenants, but you kind of keep hitting them.
Hey, they as well.
Yeah. I mean, would you say good business has been good for business?
I will also say, I think what was the most helpful about B Corp was, again, we're a legacy agency, been around forever. And so we had a lot of those values, but having it very clearly stated that then other people jump into and like, hey, I'm a B Corp too. And like having this instant community, that has been more valuable than the business side of being a B Corp. Just being a part of a community where we all are on the same page for what's important for our people and the world. I mean, that's really the best part about being a B Corp.
Oh, 100%.
And it's good business, Nathan.
Oh, you know me. I love that expression. But no, you're 100% right. I love that part of the community. It was like meeting you. Have we met? I don't think we'd met in person before when I was in Asheville.
No, not until Asheville. Yeah. Like, we're humans. It's great.
You're in 3D. I thought you were a hologram. but like unpacking the fact that like you've made Mo now like the culture, the beekeeper, but elevated and also given her some decision-making authority in that role too. It's not just a figurehead role for y'all, that you've created a spot for somebody to really own that piece and be able to report back to y'all too. I think it's really cool. And I remember that's when I met you, was like, I think right around the time it was becoming official.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about Brains, is that you can be a 22-year-old staff accountant and be an owner of the company one day, or you can be Mo, who came in, I think, as a social person and has evolved into our director of people. You really can craft your path based on what your natural skills are. So I love that for Mo. She's always been that person who's been very intentional about culture and making sure that we take care of each other. But now to like have the title, have the approval, and to see her grow in this space. And also for us to say, it's so important that we have this brilliant person who is now responsible for making sure that we're accountable to each other, follow the things, keep making us better, putting in the effort. That's pretty cool to have.
Yeah. And somebody that's just so passionate about those things internally too, because I think it helps when it's not the owners of the company going B Corp, when you have somebody championing it. And I mean, obviously you need the owners to clearly care about it. Yeah. But I think the real magic sauce or whatever is when it trickles down, the enthusiasm for that trickles down, and you have somebody who's able to also articulate why it matters to you as an individual team member and the benefits of it and all those things. How would you say it's impacted Brains? I mean, we talked a little bit about just the beauty of the community, and, you know, we've worked together on some stuff to kind of grow it in the Southeast, but I mean, and we joked good business is good for business, but I mean, can you put like some sort of tangible, or if you're talking to somebody who's like, hey, I'm also a CFO, I'm thinking about, where our company's thinking about doing B Corp, why should we do it?
Yeah, I would give two reasons. I think first is just the hiring implications. So many people, when we put out a job posting, come to us and they say, I love marketing, but I have been burnt in the past. But the fact that you guys are a B Corp, I trust that maybe you might be different and maybe you might also care about your clients or that you might care about me. And so that has been huge because we are nothing without amazing teammates that want to do good in the world. And so knowing that that's attracting them to us, I'm like, yes, I would do B Corp. If that was the only benefit that we ever got from B Corp, having that, I don't know. I mean, people will literally Google marketing agencies that are B Corps and try to get a job with us. I mean, they do, and they tell me about it. So having that is definitely the number one. And number two is just, I think it's great for clients that are also having a similar, like maybe they've had freelance or consulting fatigue in the past, or maybe they've been burnt. They just want someone that believes like they do. And so they're not, like all of our clients are not B corporations, but I think a lot of our clients see our values and they're like, oh, we care about these things too. Maybe you would be a good partner for us. And so I think it's part of their vetting of us just to see that we've done the legwork. We check the boxes. We've made the effort. We're telling the story. And I think that gives them some peace of mind that, okay. I mean, because, you know, some people will come to us, they're going to pay us six figures and they've never worked with us before. They need something that makes them feel that we have our act together.
Yeah. And that there's some sort of inherent like trust there, I feel like, for the
like
average.
Maybe you're
there's
my
enough people. Awareness of it now that people at least know, like, I don't know everything about it, but I know that it means good.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you guys care about something other than yourselves and making money. We do too, but we also know that we have to make money to keep this business alive, and maybe you could be our agency. So I think that's really valuable just from a trust building standpoint straight out of the gate.
Yeah, 100%. No, I love that. Just building the demand in the Southeast, and we'll continue to do that together too. I'm excited. I'm just throwing that out there too. Like by the time this, we'll still have a couple months till I'm coming up there. But we're going to do a collaborative little Greenville event this year and keep kind of spreading it into, it's fun to see it spread into pockets, that there haven't traditionally, because I think what South Carolina is, what, 7 B Corps now?
Yeah. Think so.
Yeah, Alabama just officially hit 6. Woo! So like starting to see these little pockets and starting to see, like, you know, even Athens, where like there were 0 5 years ago, now there's 5. And then, you know, there's 2 more going through the process. It's cool to see these little, you know, for it to go from like us kind of like having to go and like spread the good word to it just kind of growing more organically throughout our region, where people clearly the messaging we're using is working.
Yeah. I love supporting other B corporations. I mean, just like buying their products, or, you know, like us going on our trip up to Asheville, all those things are so fun. And it's nice to be able to do it in the South where we live.
Yes. And help like rewrite that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I've started to expand this podcast a little bit beyond Georgia, is I want people to see that the community extends beyond our state. And our region has so many similarities, and also, you know, rewriting the narrative applies, you know, for what people, you know, from outside this region think about South Carolina is no different than what they think about Georgia or Alabama or Louisiana or Kentucky. Like, so rewriting that narrative together of like, actually, that this is a market full of purpose-driven enterprises and people that care and people that want to do well. And for a lot of people, it's a faith calling, but this unified kind of the, building that community of companies that want to work together and support each other and create great jobs and give back to our communities is, I would say, very culturally natural to us. And so I think it's cool. It's cool to collaborate.
The South has a lot of very similar values to B Corp. I think we naturally fall into that. And I think the more businesses that realize that, they'll continue to jump on board.
Yeah. For a second, I thought you were going to steal my line and say the South got something to say, but,
I would never, Nathan, never steal your line.
I didn't wear that t-shirt today. Oh, well. All right. We can't not talk about it. So this is the first time we've had an elected official on our podcast. We feel quite honored. So as somebody who now has my own business, like, what were... what were you thinking? No, I'm just, well, how did you make this decision as a business executive? Like, you know what else I need to run besides a company is a city.
A city.
So why, how did you first get involved? And at what point were you like, you know what? I think I'm going to run for mayor.
It's such a weird thing when you say it out loud. It seems so natural to me to be mayor and brains on fire. When you say it, it's like, it is kind of an odd thing, isn't it, Nathan? Short version. So Travelers Rest is the city outside of Greenville. I have lived here my whole life, so I'm very invested in this community. I heard about this guy who came into city council on a special election and nobody ran against him. So he didn't have to do any of the campaigning or knock on doors or anything like that. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why are there people not lined up to represent the city of Travelers Rest? So I'm complaining to my husband. And he's like, well, why don't you do it? And I'm not a very political person. I didn't know who the mayor was. I actually didn't know what city council people did. And so I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll go to a meeting and figure it out. I go to a couple of meetings and they talk about money all the time. It's literally all we talk about. And I was like, I'm a CPA. I know about money. And that's literally how I fell into it, Nathan. And the first time I ran for office, I lost by 16 votes. So this is where every vote does matter. So you people better get your butt out there and vote. So I lost the first time. I ran again in a special election, was on council for 8 years and just loved it. I love building community. It's very similar to what I do at Brains, where I'm building community within Brains, but this is community within the city, and just appreciated everything about it. The former mayor, he was like, I'm ready to retire. Brandy, you going to step in again like I did for the former owner of Brains on Fire? I was like, no, I do not want to be responsible for this city. And the more I thought about it, I was like, no, I love this job. I love this town, and just kind of fell into it. So yeah, I'm on my second term as mayor, first female mayor, which is kind of cool for my, you know, city's history. And I still love it. I love my job. As soon as I don't love it anymore, I don't want to become one of those, you know, old farts that sits around and complains about constituents. So when I get to that point, it's time to step back. But I really do. We're just building community, which is the best. Very similar to B Corp values too.
Yeah, no, that's all. I mean, and just, yeah, bringing, that was a fantastic parallel. Like how do you build this community, especially nowadays where, you know, everything is so political. How do you bring people together to around the things we all care about? And I think that's what's missing. And I think there's a lot more, probably, I'm sure it's not all fun. I'm sure there's still some interesting things that happen. But for the most part, like the ability in a small town, I think, you know, like me being in Athens, and I mean, yeah, I've seen our mayor sitting outside of, you know, having a beer, you know, or he goes on trash walks. But like, I think there's a lot more opportunity to really build that community than there is on like a national scale where, you know, it's just kind of, it's hard to know everybody. It's hard to shake all the hands.
Yeah, I always say too, like if I make a bad decision or I don't take care of a constituent or if I'm rude to them, I'm going to see them in Walmart or I'm going to see them at the park with their kids. Like you can't run away. I can't be a horrible person and be like, all right, you know, like you're held accountable every day. So it's like you better make good decisions and you better be respectful and kind. And that, I mean, you know, Athens, like I know Travelers Rest, like this is our home. I know my people. Just like I know my people at Brains and just like I know our people at B Corp. And so we're taking care of each other. It's just a little different way in community world. It might have more to do with composting or recycling or roads, but it's still caring for each other.
I'll never forget the first time I had lunch with Kelly Gertz, the mayor of Athens. And I said something to him. I said, what was like day one like? And he was like, you know, you walk in, you got these things you campaigned on and all these big ideas and visions. And the day one, they're like, okay, so this is like the wastewater plant. Here's how it operates. Yeah. He's like, oh, right. I have to run a city.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, and there's no class in college or a prep course to help you for local government infrastructure. You just got to learn that on your own. It's not the most exciting thing that we do, but it is a necessity of life.
Yeah, no, I've started going to like, even this Friday, there's another one. I'm on the board of Keep Athens Beautiful, which is like quasi-governmental. And I've started going to the litter abatement steering committee meetings, and I'm just a fly on the wall. I don't really have anything to add. I'm not the board chair anymore. So but they're open to the public and you get free lunch and you sit there, but you get to see the different like code enforcement and the sheriff's office and the police department and waste management and all these different, I think it makes you appreciate, I think it's really easy when you don't see how the sausage is made to complain about the taste of the sausage, which is a weird analogy, but
I got it.
But yeah, I think it's been really enlightening to see, you know, I mean, how many moving parts there are, how difficult it is. And I think it gives you a little more empathy too, when you meet, you know, the people who are the ones in charge of this and you realize they're just doing the best they can for the city they live in and their community that they're a part of. And I think it's pretty cool to get a full working understanding of how local government works. But say, hopefully this isn't my slippery slope of 8 years from now, like, Nathan, how'd you become mayor?
Well, I was having a conversation with the mayor of Travelers Rest. I was just going to say, I think it's very easy in politics for it to become impersonal very quickly. And so I think an opportunity for local government is just to make it personal as quick as possible. Like, I get so many people when I answer my cell phone and they call me and they're like, oh, I didn't know that I was going to get the mayor when I called the mayor's cell phone. It's like, yeah, I don't have a secretary or administrative person. Like, it's me. I'm the mayor. And they're like, oh, well, I was called, you know? And so I think just to remind, like, I'm a human. Like you said, I'm doing the best that I can. We have great staff. They're all doing the best that they can. And so as quick as I can remind people that we're humans and we live here and we care, then they usually come back down like, all right, how can we problem solve together? That's the fun part.
That's awesome. And it brings me kind of to like my wrapping question of like throughout this episode, you seem to have a unique ability to build trust with those that are around you. From the team, from you know, you talked about in the B Corp community, everybody loves you. Clearly, brains on fire. Your team loves you, unless they're not telling us something on those surveys. You got reelected, so
I know. Must be doing something right.
So, what do you think it is about building trust, and like, what advice would you give everybody listening to, like, you know, especially sometimes, I mean, I know a lot of people listen to this are, you know, young professionals and they're interested in the B Corp movement. Like, what advice would you give people for both the importance of building trust and then the best way to go about it?
Yeah, I usually get the questions for, like, say I go to a young entrepreneur, you know, conversation. They're like, I'm a young person trying to come into a field. What would be your advice? And it's kind of similar to even for, you know, grown up mature people in their industry too. I think just coming at from a place that's very similar to the value of Brains on Fire of curiosity. I want to be curious about you. I'm curious about what you're passionate about. I'm curious about what you're concerned about, or I'm curious about what you know, so I can therefore know it and hopefully help me to help you. So for example, from a brain standpoint, of just being like, if there's conflict or even from a culture conversation, I need to know what the pressure points are. What problem are we trying to solve? Listening, of course, is always the number one answer to anything like this. And it's still true to this day of just listening to the other person. Or like I was mentioning, if I have, especially during, you know, hard times in the world, people will come to, and they're so upset about something. So you have to listen to that first before you go into problem solving mode, or even like being a newbie mayor or a newbie owner of a company, I can't just jump into something and try to solve everything and fix it until I've sat back and said, like, okay, listen to the team. What are the things that we're concerned about? How can I be curious about whatever is happening in the world first before I try to jump into something that is going to be the betterment piece? I think that's most helpful. And people know when you're authentic or not. Like, they're going to instantly know, does Brainy really care about me? And so if you're genuine, like, I want to know, like, I want to be a helper to you. I think that's where they build the trust. And hopefully you make a good decision. And then hopefully that builds on another good decision. And then the next time you need something from them, it won't be as hard to be like, yeah, Brandy's been taking care of me. I trust her. Even though I'm not really happy about this roundabout at the end of my street, I'm going to believe that Brandy said that it is going to be the best thing for me. And that's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, and then too, you create like, I mean, it's, you create those people who can then, the people who haven't yet had the opportunity and the fortune to get to know you, you have people who do, who can say, hey, just Brandy's good people. And I think it spreads like that too.
Yeah, they'll defend you too, especially when it comes to some Facebook posts. I've got some people that'll come out and be like, are you talking about my mayor? I love it. It's the best compliment.
Don't worry, folks. We'll put all the links to all these Facebook comment threads in the show notes. Oh, God. All right. Well, we better get out of here before I go off the rails. Brandy, thank you so much. I'm excited to come see you in Greenville and continue to kind of expand this community. I'm excited to see you in Atlanta for Build Southeast in September. And just excited to continue this like abundant growth, Southeastern, whatever we're doing down here, to keep doing it with you and with Brains on Fire and with the South Carolina B Corp community. And let's grow together.
Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
Well, that wraps up another edition of Be the Change Georgia. We're grateful, as always, for the opportunity to serve you with this content and grow this incredible community of purpose-driven B Corp leaders. If you haven't already, we would be grateful for you to rate the show wherever you get your podcast by simply tapping the number of stars you think it deserves and sharing it with a friend. This helps us get the word out and continue to use our collective influence as a force for good. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our production team at Chat with Leaders Media. Learn how you can launch your own podcast to grow your business at chatwithleaders.com. Thanks again for listening, and now go be a leader worth following.